Amen. You may be seated this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. I'd like to read this morning from 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, and the 1st verse. This morning I want to talk for just a little bit about the atmosphere of glory. And we're going to just talk a little bit about creating and being a part of His atmosphere today. There's something special. You know, we can show up and we can have all the talent in the world. We can bring together the best people that can play the best instruments, that can beat on the best drums, that can sing with the best voices, and we just have a crowd and a concert. Amen? But there's something different about an atmosphere that when we come and all of a sudden it's not just our talents, but it involves Him and it involves the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there's something that happens. And when we begin to create an atmosphere where He can move and flow, that there's no telling what can happen in this church. Hallelujah. But it says in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter and the 1st verse, it says, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, about 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal to Judah, to bring up from thenceforth the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. David decided he wanted to go down and get the glory. That it had been over 70 years since the Ark of the Covenant had been in the city of Jerusalem. It had been with the Philistines. It had stayed in the house of Abinadab. And David made up his mind, it is time to have glory. Amen? And so he went down to get the Ark of the Covenant. It says, and they set the Ark of God upon a new cart. Everybody say new cart. And brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which is in Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harp and on the psalteries and the trembles and the cornets and on the cymbals. And they came to Nacon's threshing floor. And Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. For the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. When this means displeased, he was frustrated with the situation. He wasn't angry at God. He was frustrated with what happened. He so desired to have the glory of God back in Jerusalem. But now how are we going to get the glory of God if we can't get it back to Jerusalem, was his frustrations. And he called on the name, and he called the name of the place, Perazah, to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his household. There's something about blessings that come when the glory's in the house, amen? And it was told to King David, saying, that the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and the fatling. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod, so that David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with a shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. The word atmosphere is a word that comes, it comes from the Greek word atmosphera. Atmos means vapor or stream, and sphera means sphere. It was first related to the English, in English connection, was with the moon. And come to find out, they found out later that the moon has no atmosphere, so it kind of voided that out. But it is something that is talking about the surrounding and the influence can either be mental or a moral environment that is created. It is the surrounding that is around it. Now, you can plant a tree, but if you do not water it, there is not an environment for that tree to survive. You can have a child, but if you do not raise that child, you have not created an environment for that child to be successful, for that child to have what it takes to survive in this world. Lot danced around the altar with Abraham. He danced with him. He worshiped God. He was there when the sacrifices were made, when Abraham would fall to his knees and repent, and the celebrations that would happen when God blessed. Lot was a part of that. But he raised his family in an atmosphere that was far, far away from God. He raised his family in a situation in Sodom that it didn't matter what happened when he came to church. It didn't matter what he had experienced in his past. It was the atmosphere that he chose to live in that ultimately created and molded the future of his family and his future. Herod allowed an atmosphere to be created in Matthew 14 and 6. It said, but when it was Herod's birthday, as his birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod. Thereupon he promised with an oath to her to give her whatsoever she asked. That he looked at her and told her, unto the half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. It was the atmosphere that was created in that moment in time that changed what was going on. That Herod liked the prophet. That when he looked at John the Baptist, the scripture says that he knew that he was a prophet. That he was a good man. That he didn't always like what he said, but he respected him. And that he actually liked John the Baptist. But because of the atmosphere that was created around him, because of the atmosphere that he allowed to happen in his life, it took him to a place that he made a decision that day that even though he liked the man of God in his life, and even though he respected what he had to say, even though he didn't like it, that he cut the man of God's head off because of the atmosphere that was created around him. It's important the atmosphere that we allow around us. It's important the atmosphere that we allow into our homes. It's important the atmosphere that we allow around our homes and our lives. I've had people come to me there was a guy in our church, and he would call Pastor every weekend. And he would call him, and he'd say, my dad would pick up the phone, and he'd be like, Pastor. He said, I'm scared. He said, John, you been watching them scary movies on TV again? Yes, sir, I've been watching them scary movies on TV again, and I can't sleep. And he said, John, I keep telling you, quit watching them scary movies on TV. I know, but I like them, Pastor, but I can't sleep now, Pastor, he would say. And we knew what was going to happen when the phone rang, and we realized that it was him. And he created an atmosphere in his own home that bred fear, that bred an environment that couldn't live with and couldn't sleep with. Solomon created an atmosphere when he built the temple of God, that when he stood there that day and he called upon the God of his father, that all of a sudden that the Spirit of God began to move in that place. It was an atmosphere that was created. There was a moment in time that was created for that place and that time, that when they ushered in the presence of God, he came because that the atmosphere was set right, that it was created a place that he could come and dwell. That when we create a place that he can come and dwell, when we create an atmosphere that he can move and flow in, you can rest assured that he will show up every single time. Amen. That when there's an atmosphere that is conducive to him, the scripture says where two or three gather together, there he will be also. That there is something about it that when we begin to create an atmosphere that God says, I can't help myself, I've got to show up. That when we begin to create an atmosphere, there's something that happens that he says, you know what, they've started it and I'm going to come and be a part of it. He can't resist an atmosphere of praise and worship. He can't resist the atmosphere of something that is created that is for him as his name is being lifted up. David didn't want to live without the glory. There was something inside of him that was hungry for the glory of God. There was something inside of him that said that I'm not satisfied with just church as usual. I'm not satisfied with just keep doing what I've always done or keep going to the same old place. I've got to have his glory in my life. He found out where the Ark of the Covenant was. He knew where it was, and he decided that it was time to go and get the Ark of the Covenant. The story that we read today says that they built a new cart. It wasn't an old cart. It wasn't something that they just picked up out of the shed. It wasn't something that they borrowed from his uncle. It was a new cart. It was built specifically for that situation. It was a cart that was designed that I imagine it had places where the Ark of the Covenant sit perfectly down inside of it to make it more sturdy. I imagine the width of it was built in such a way that if something did happen, that the Ark wouldn't just fall off of it, but it might just tip on its side and could be set back up. I imagine there were places for straps and different things to try to make sure that it was stable. I imagine the tires were built in such a way that as the wheels turned, that they were built in a way that it would make the smoothest ride possible. This wasn't something that David just did on a whim. It wasn't something that he decided to do on a Tuesday and Wednesday morning they went to get it. It was something that he wanted, that he desired. I imagine there was prayer that went into this, that he prayed about this day, that as they built that cart and prepared that cart to go down and get the Ark of the Covenant, as he sat there and talked to the designer of the cart, the builder of it, this is what I want. This is what I think we need on it. I imagine this cart wasn't just some simple thing that was going to get the Ark of the Covenant. I imagine that there was carvings on it. I imagine there was work that was done to this cart. This cart had been prepared for such a time as this at this moment in time. And so they pull up with this cart that was built for this moment in time with prayers that had been prayed for that moment in time. And they loaded the Ark of the Covenant onto that cart, and they begin to set off on their journey across the desert towards Jerusalem. 70 years it had sat in somebody else's house. 70 years it had not been in the possession of the Levite. 70 years it had not been watched by a priest or taken care of, but now they're making the journey back to where it should have been and where it should have stayed. This cart looked beautiful with it sitting on top of it. It looked beautiful with everything that it was. It was in a safe place. It was in a controlled environment. It was put in a place that there wasn't too much that could go wrong. It was set in a position that everything was where it needed to be and was controlled. And now we were able to safely transport this in value, this thing that they could not put a price on, back to Jerusalem. And they begin to make the journey. They get to the threshing floor, and evidently there was a washout. Something had happened there. They came in and dropped off the wheat, there was a place that had been worn out by the other carts and animals that had come through. And evidently, as one of the tires fell into that hole, Uzzah reached out and grabbed hold of the Ark of the Covenant and tried to steady it. He'd been with the Ark of the Covenant for years. He'd grown up around it. He'd seen it. He'd become comfortable with the Ark of the Covenant. It was something that was just around. It was something that was a part of his house. It was something that was there. He knew how to take care of it. He knew how to move it from one place to the other. It was the box that it was falling as he reached out to steady it. And the scripture says that he took hold of it. And in that moment in time, the Lord struck him dead. At that moment, you see, the glory of God was never to be carried on something new. He never planned on it to be carried by something that they went. Let's just liken it into this. They went out and they got new technology to carry the glory of God. They went out and got the latest thing that is the easiest way to get it from point A to point B. It didn't matter that numbers said that we want you to
carry it, that it's got to rest upon you, that it's got to be a burden, that you can't just bring in a bunch of critters and have them drag it from one place to another, but there's got to be somebody that takes hold of it and puts it on their shoulders. There's got to be somebody that takes up that burden as they begin to carry it and they begin to move the glory of God from place to place. I'm all for technology. Some people, we talk about going back to the way it was. I'm an old soul at heart. I was born in an apostolic church. I was born being able to sit under the pew as we had revival every night of the week. I've been a part of it. That's something that's deep inside of me that I desire and want more than anything else. An old kind of revival, not something new, but from the old wells. Not digging up something new, but digging up old wells that spring forth, an old anointing that moves and flows. Something deep, not just something on the surface, not just something that is controlled, not just something where we can put the glory of God in a place and say, well, now we can move it over here and we can take it there, that we can control the glory, that we've got a special place and a moment in time for it, that we've got this and that and this scheduled and that scheduled and this going on. And at this moment in time, we've got a special place for His glory. I'm all for new things. People say, man, we want to go back to the old days. I like taking showers. I like air conditioning. I like padded pews. I like not having church outside under a tent. Every now and again, it's all right. But I like coming every Sunday morning and being able to walk into a cooled place with electricity. But I'd like to see the old stuff happen inside of an air-conditioned room with a projector on the wall and the video cameras and the sound equipment and all of the stuff. And you see, Uzzah's name meant strength, and Aoi's name meant friendly. That strength and friendly was leading and guiding the glory of God. It doesn't matter how many people you have. It doesn't matter how strong your church is. It doesn't matter how financially set your church is. It can't lead glory. It doesn't matter how friendly your church is. It doesn't matter if your church can relate to everybody. It doesn't matter if everybody in the world can feel comfortable sitting in your church. Friendly can't lead glory. Glory's got to be placed upon the back of men and women of God and say, you know what? We want to take it to the deep places. We want to go somewhere that we haven't gone before. We want to go somewhere that maybe it's been a little while since we've stepped into that moment in time. You see, what you've got to understand, that there are people in this room that have got giftings and deep anointings in your life. And it doesn't matter if it's been 3 years or 10 years or a month since you've stepped into that place. If God opened that door for you and you've ever been there before, you can rest assured that you can go back to that place, that you can go back to that deep anointing, that if you've ever been in a prayer meeting that God moved in such a way, you hear people talk, I remember a prayer meeting that happened in my life. It was on such and such a day at such and such a time that God moved in my life so strong that it changed my life forever. You see, if you've been there before, then there's something inside of you that knows how to get back to that place again. If you've ever experienced that before, then there's something inside of you that says, you know what? I can find that place one more time. You hear elders talk about Jesus walking into their house and sitting down. Has anybody ever had an elder tell you a story where Jesus came in and sat down in their house? They ain't saying they saw him. They're not saying everything moved and angels appeared and trumpets sounded. But they knew as they sat there and prayed that God was in that place. It wasn't like any other regular church service. It wasn't like something else that was going on in their lives. It wasn't like something. It wasn't like an ordinary prayer meeting. But literally, it was like God had stepped into that room in that place in that moment in time. It's moments like that that change you forever. We look at people and we wonder, how on earth can they be that disconnected to the world and that in love with Jesus? How on earth can they be that separated from the world and that in love with Jesus? Well, what about such and such?
Well, let's talk about the word. Well, what about such and such? Man, God's so good. It just, there's some people that just seems like they're just separated from the world. They're a part of it. They live in it. They have families. But there's something about them. It's like they just kind of live somewhere else. Somewhere that's a little bit higher than everybody else. Somewhere that's a little bit more closer to God than you see. You have enough experiences with Him, it's easy to forget about this world. Amen. You have enough deep experiences with Him, it's easy to get up from an altar and say, you know what? I don't even know why I struggled with that. I don't even know why that was such a big deal in my life. I don't even know why that was such a thing that I was willing to struggle with all these years. There's something about being in the presence of an almighty God that can change everything. But in order to get that presence, there has to be an atmosphere that is created for Him to show up. Amen? In order for that kind of atmosphere to be created, there has to be people that say, you know what? I want to take hold of this ark. I want to take hold of the glory, and I want to do my part to make sure that the glory is moved from one place to the other. Uzzah erred in thinking that it didn't matter who carried the ark. Uzzah erred in thinking that it didn't matter how the ark was carried. Uzzah erred in thinking that he knew all about the ark because it was in his father's house so long. Uzzah erred in thinking that God couldn't take care of the ark all by himself. The ark of the glory of God cannot be moved by technology. It cannot be moved by programs. It cannot be summoned by our latest fandangled things. It's got to be a pure, unadulterated move of God that people begin to make up their minds. You know what? I'm going to take hold of His glory. And whatever it takes to get His glory to this place, I'm going to be a part of it. That I'm going to be a part of the atmosphere that is created for the glory of God to begin to move and flow, not only in my life, but in my church and in my family. That I'm going to be a part of creating an atmosphere that is something that goes beyond everything else that is going on. David came to the place that he realized that what he had done to get the glory, what was going on, what was happening at that moment, it wasn't enough. He was by the glory. He moved with the glory. The glory moved, but it didn't happen the way that he wanted it. And the scripture says that in 1 Chronicles 15 and 12 that he went back. It says, and he said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place. And I have prepared for it. For because ye did not at the first, the Lord God has made us to a breach upon us. For that we sought not him, it said, we sought him not after the due order. So the priest and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereupon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David spake to the chief of the Levites and appointed their brethren to be the singers with the instruments of the music, the psalteries, the harps and the cymbals, the sounding by the lifting up of the voice with joy. David said, you know what? I tried it this way, and I've tried it that way, and I've done this, and I've done that. But the only way I'm going to be able to get the glory to where I live is if I go back to the old paths, and I do it the way that God wants it done. That the only way that there's going to be glory in this place is it's going to be because of prayer. It's going to be because of fasting. It's going to be because there's a hunger inside of us that is stirred that says, I want the deep things of God. That I want to see miracle signs and wonders. I want to come into a church that people walk in tears begin to stream down their face. And before the music is ever done singing, that they're running to the altar and beginning to throw their hands in the air. And people
people are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the song service. Not something that's just set up and met, but you know what? I want to get a hold of it, God. Whatever it takes, whatever I've got to do. I love new technology. I got my iPad. I like the lights. I like the air conditioning. I like all of the projection and all of the things like that. But at the same time, the only way that we can have His glory is the old paths, the deep paths, things of hunger, things of deep things that say, you know what, God? We can orchestrate something. We can feel a little bit. We can come in here and we can have a hoorah in a big time, and we can all go home the same way that we came. But I'm interested in your glory, and I'm interested in your glory being in our church, and I'm interested in your glory moving and flowing in our lives. God, whatever it takes for us to have revival, God, help us to accept the responsibilities to get revival and to keep revival, that there would be something inside of us that would get hold of the side of your glory and say, you know what, I'm going to carry this glory, I'm going to be a part of moving this glory, I'm going to be a part of glory moving and flowing in my church. There's something about it when His glory shows up. It don't matter what's happening. I can study for 15 weeks for one sermon and not do nothing. But when His glory shows up in 3 seconds, He can reach into somebody's life and change them at a moment's time. I can drop the most knowledge I can find on you, but if His glory is not involved, it's just a sound and a noise. But when His glory is involved, now not everybody's going to want to be involved, because glory is not easy. Glory takes prayer, it takes fasting, it takes work. There's Michaels that stand and scoff in the corners. There's Michaels that look and say, look at you. You embarrassed yourself today. You danced, she said, you unclothed yourself, literally danced naked before the women of Israel today. What's interesting to me in that saying is the Bible never says that he danced naked. In fact, it said that he wore an ephod, that he was clothed when he did this. What upset Michael is that he was not clothed in royal garments. What upset Michael is that he was not wearing his crown upon his head and his robe upon his back. What upset Michael is that he laid aside everything that represented who he was and said, this doesn't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with you. This doesn't have anything to do with my wants and my desires and my purpose and what I think should happen. It has everything to do with you. I've tried it with my robes and my crown. I've done it my way. I've done it the way that I desired. I've created this and made that and tried. But you know what, God? The fact of the matter is the only way that this is going to happen is because of you. So I'm going to lay down what I represent. I'm going to lay down the things that I like. I'm going to lay down the stuff that says who I am. I'm going to lay down the stuff that says that I'm important and that I've got it all together. And God, I just want you to know that it's all about you. He takes 6 steps. 6 is the number of man. He must have knew that. And as he took his 6th step, he would stop and he would worship and he would sacrifice. He would say, if glory is going to come to my house, there's got to be a dying of this old nasty flesh that I wear. If there's going to be glory in my house, then I've got to crucify this man every chance that I get. I don't know how long it took them to get from where they were to Jerusalem, but you take 6 steps and you throw a party, it's going to take a long time. But he said, it doesn't matter how long it takes, I got to crucify this man that I wear. I've got to die out to this flesh. I've got to make sure that God knows that this has nothing to do with me,
but it has everything to do with Him. Everything to do with Him. Lord Jesus, we've got some of the most talented people in this town that attend this church. We've got some of the smartest people in this town that attend this church. We've got some of the most gifted people in this town that attend this church. But Lord Jesus, it doesn't matter how smart we are. It doesn't matter how gifted we are. It doesn't matter how together we've got it. Lord Jesus, if it isn't about You and You're not involved, then we're not doing anything. So, Lord Jesus, we want to make a commitment to You this morning, God, that You would help us, God, die out to us. That You would help us, God, to lay aside everything that we say, well, this is me and this is who I am and this is what I do. But no, God, I want this to be about You. That You would bind us together in one mind and one accord, Lord Jesus. That we are separate people raised in separate ways with different ideas and different thoughts. But Lord, that we would have an end goal that is the same. That would we be moving in Your direction, oh God, for Your purpose and Your plan in our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We're going to have great programs. We're going to have cool stuff. We're going to use the latest technology. But first and foremost, we've got to make sure we've got His glory. And the only way that we can have His glory is going back to old wells and going back to deep places and finding old paths and saying, you know what? We're going to have a church that it might not be like any other church in town. It's going to be a deep church. It's going to be a church that can go to deep places in God. It's going to be a church that can have deep moves of God. It's going to be a church that when people walk in, ooh, this feels like old time Pentecost. I remember this. I may not have been to church in 30 years. I may have been backslide for the past 27 years, but when they walk in this place, they're gonna, whoo, I remember that feeling. I remember that. They got some new lights, they got some new stuff, they got some cool things, but ooh, the Spirit's still the same. I feel glory. I feel something special in this house. I feel something that's life changing. I feel something that can change my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want His glory. Amen. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to take a small break. We're going to come back in here and we're going to have some throwdown church. And I want to be a part of creating an atmosphere that God can do anything that He wants to do in this place. Amen? One thing I want you to know, that if you're a musician in this church and you're singing and God moves on you, I don't care if you have a solo, you have my permission to do whatever you feel like God wants you to do. I don't care if you're running the soundboard. I don't care if you're doing the media. I don't care if you're playing the drums. I don't care if at the end of a service, you're the one that's supposed to be up playing a major instrument. If God's moving on you, you have been released to do whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing. Because what's more important than anything is us getting in His glory. It doesn't matter if the sound goes haywire. With this room in that big, we'll scream and holler. It doesn't matter. We've got to get in His glory. It doesn't matter if we can't read scriptures on the screen. We've got to get in His glory. Amen? So I don't care what job you've got in this church. If we're in the middle of church and God moves on you, if we're in the middle of an altar call and you're supposed to be doing something, you have been released to do whatever you feel like God wants you to do at that moment in time. If it's hit an altar, hit an altar. If it's to go pray for somebody else and God spoke to you, go pray for somebody else. Amen. Let God use you. Allow His glory and His anointing to move and flow in your life. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We got 10 minutes before church. I know some of you said you've gone too long and I need to hit the men's room or go get a cup of coffee or something to wake back up, but we'll see you in 10 minutes. Amen? Come prepared. We're going to create an atmosphere of worship. Amen?